it looks like both China and we in the United States are looking at each other now with the darkest interpretation of each other's motives. How could we change this? This, if we persist on that path, this could turn out badly. Ray, first your thoughts, and then Henry.
I think that in both countries, there's a recognition that the whoever you're speaking with might change, and the policies might change, and so it's almost like the prisoner's dilemma. You know, if you don't know whether the other side is going to kill you or should you cooperate? Should you kill the other side or should you cooperate? And the answer is kill the other side for the defensiveness. And there's a bit of that going on. And so I think that what has to be done is the placing of those risks as the paramount importance and the establishment of clear red lines and the understanding of how to negotiate those red lines so that they build around the fact that there could be all sorts of competitions and so on, but you do not want to cross certain red lines. And so it becomes of paramount importance. I don't feel that just finding ways to cooperate, like there's climate change and so on, that can change the mood, and it certainly can. But I think you have to deal with the existential risks that come from as perceived by each country. And then also then the greatest existential risk of those two fighting. And you've got to make that a number one objective, I would presume.
Yeah. Henry, your thoughts. This sounds very, very much what you would say, too. But your thoughts on this?
My thought is very parallel to this. The two sides, the dilemma both sides have, is that if they engage in, say, traditional arms control exchanges, it can be used as a sort of source of intelligence rather than as an element of restraint, that they learn about each other's capacities, but do not learn about the needs for restraints or the definition of limits. So the first step would have to be that the two sides agree that this is a principal objective to define the red lines, which would define limits, and to define the methods of competition beyond which one does not go in the technological field. But this requires a reorientation of strategic thinking on our side and probably on the Chinese side. But no such dialogue exists today, and not even the beginnings of it. And I obsessively keep saying, we have this paradox, we have to be strong. We cannot fall behind, but we cannot in that process forget that if the other side thinks the same way, if red lines do not exist, a catastrophic outcome becomes very possible. And that should be the first task to avoid.